Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and director of the Dr. Pat Allen Watt Institute. We are so fortunate to have Dr. Pat and staff Sue Wagner and Kelly Ward available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Watt Institute. Dr. Pat Allen started the Watt Institute over 50 years ago to help men and women learn to express their wants and not wants with integrity and honesty, and to recognize and avoid damaging ploys of intimidation and seduction. The Watt Institute currently provides facilitators that offer monthly ladies groups that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. If you want more information regarding the monthly ladies groups or other services, please email me at info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338. Today we have a former student trained by Dr. Allen, Andy Shaw, and we have Kelly Ward and Dr. Pat. Andy, do you want to say hello?
Hello. How's everybody doing?
And Dr. Pat, you're on the show. Andy, one of your former students, is on the show. Dr. Pat?
Yes.
Andy, one of your former students is on the show today. Yeah. Kelly, do you want to ask a question?
Did Andy want to ask a question?
Yeah, I think Andy has something to say.
So I'll ask the first question. I had a conversation today with a coworker about passive-aggressive people and people who cannot keep their commitments. What would you say to people who cannot keep their commitments?
Will somebody please repeat the question?
Sue, I think
So Andy, Dr. Pat, Andy said he had an encounter today at work regarding passive-aggressive people and people that can't keep their commitments. What do you say to that?
What I say to that is passive-aggressive people have never learned how to love. I work with people to teach them how to share their sobriety and their way of living. So passive-aggressive people were not raised to love. They were raised to play power games on people. And if you want to read about them as a way of life, read the book that I've written, which is called Men Are
It's a Man's World and a Woman's Universe.
People that are passive aggressive refuse to surrender to anyone. They power game. They're hedonists. And they were taught and raised by parents that scripted them to be perfect or dead, try harder or dead, hurry up or die, please others. Pardon? Whereas people that are stoics are raised to be excellent, to know what's enough, to work easy, to please themselves first, and be open. So passive aggressive, they say yes, they're going to do it, but they don't do it. And then when you come up and fight with them, they will fight with you to the death. If you want to read a book about this, read Marcus Aurelius's book, The Spiritual Teachings of Marcus Aurelius, edited by Forstater, because you've been raised basically not to live in the world of love. You were raised to live in the world of power. And people that are passive aggressive are hugely powerful because they don't have a support group that knows how to teach them to love. That's what we're doing here. They don't have a language. I teach language. They must be avoided. Don't engage them. They're too powerful. And above all, know that there is a God, that you believe in a God, a higher power that loves and wishes me and you and everyone to love each other. That's passive aggressive, and that's love, if you were raised correctly.
On that note,
thank you so much, Dr. Pat. Thank you. That was amazing.
Well, it was as best I could do for right now. I did. So
thank you. We hope for
next week.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Come back next week and have another question.
Good. That's the point.
All right. We love you. Mwah!
I love all of you.
Thanks, Dr. Pat.
See you next week.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Andy, you've helped with the WAN Institute doing a lot of the book list. Do you want to talk about some of the book list and the website that the people can go on and what you've learned from the WAN Institute?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I just want to expand on one thing about that passive aggressiveness real quick. Dr. Pat mentioned powerful and how powerful can override sorry, I'm losing the word here. Emotional versus stoicism. So how do you stay healthy, which is to belly up or acquiesce or stay away? That's the only way to stay healthy around powerful, emotional people. There's a website called wantinstitute.net. And if you click on, there's a few links there. One of them is books. There's a roughly 130-something books there that talk about all the things that Pat does. It backs up the science of her conversations. I know for the passive-aggressive question, one of the ones I used was called Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man. And it had a lot of things underlined that I needed to help me stay sane. So that helped me a lot, trying to figure out how to deal with them and how to stay healthy and just learning how to belly up or acquiesce or get out.
How has Dr. Allen's material helped you in your everyday life at work and with relationships? Has it made an impact?
A huge impact.
I remember you when you first came many, many years ago.
Yeah, I like to call myself a recovering wuss.
Is there any advice you could tell the audience out there? Mostly women are here. If they're looking for a nice man, what to look for in a man?
Well, the definition of love, right, is how do you know you love yourself? Or the question is, what is love? The only way you know you love yourself myself or anybody else are by the commitments you're willing to make and keep. It's one way to test them. Do they make and keep their commitments? If they don't, they don't love themselves and they cannot love you. So at that point in time, make a decision, is this worth staying in? And then if you decide it is, great. Just remember not to leave angry. Leave when you're done. And what is done? Apathy and empathy. You know what they have, you don't want anymore, and you feel sorry for them. If you're not there, you're still in the 14th round of a 15-round fight. You got to finish the fight or you got to repeat it.
Yeah, that's what a lot of the women do. They it's called basically learn the lesson so you never have to repeat it again. If you leave too prematurely, you're going to find another model and repeat the same lesson.
Yeah, I had a strange experience to that effect, actually.
Yeah, what?
Chemistry-wise, there was a person who I found being around them just turned me off. But one day, there was a lesson that was just driving me crazy. She learned it. And all of a sudden, she smelled better to me. And she had no perfume on whatsoever. I could just be around her. And it's only because that one lesson. It was the strangest thing in the world.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's kind of... Are you dating her or was this just a friendship?
Just a friendship. She got married to somebody else.
Oh, okay. And has this material helped you with your dating life?
My dating life, my work life, my intimate life, my friendships. If you go back to that wantinstitute.net website and click on board work, there's a table of emotional versus, again, stoic talk. You know, the I will try, you should, you need to, and change your language. Learn that table, especially the emotional side. Learn to recognize it. And then for 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, listen for those words. And in your mind, change it to what it should be, the rational version of it. And when you change those words, you do it overnight, over time, you can start to hear yourself and then change your own words. Now, you're going to feel strange. There's three levels to this. This is awareness, the awe factor. That's what that is. That's what that means. Next one's assimilate, where you feel like an ass because you're changing your behavior and your words. And then finally, there's actualize, where you act out who you're always meant to be.
That's good interpretation, easy to understand. I have the how to speak rationally right there, the sheet. So it is available on our website.
Yeah, just stick with it. It takes 3 days to rewire the, start to grow the dendrites in the brain to create the pathways. Given enough time, it'll make that pathway much easier to go through, and your language will change with less effort.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's always good to have you on. You're always full of some information, Andy. Do you want to share anything else with the audience?
Well, thank you for having me on. I love you both. if you don't mind, I'll just sit in the background and interact where it's appropriate.
Oh, okay. That would be great. We're going to take some callers here. Maybe we can get a man's perspective. If anybody's out there, our call-in number is 323-203-0815. You can call us now. We have myself, Kelly Ward, or you can ask Andy a question as well. So with that, Kelly, do you have any questions before we get some caller that you want to ask Andy?
Yeah, I do. Andy, I have a couple of ladies in my groups, and they're always asking me, what is a red flag for men when it comes to relationships? Do you have any input on a man's perspective with respect to when you're dating a woman, what would put up a red flag for you?
The commitment is the first one. Hey, I'll call you at 8. Do they call at 8 o'clock? Or do they text? Are they following through on what they say they're doing? If they're not doing it, they don't love themselves and they can't love you.
I feel that. I usually tell them that evasive behavior is usually a red flag for men. So I would definitely think that that is a key point you've made there if they don't keep those commitments.
Well, we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yeah, I do. Yeah, thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
Well, my ex-boyfriend, he has come out of his man cave.
Okay.
And we started dating again last month. So, you know, at first it was like a phone call here and there, and then we went out to dinner and then more phone calls. And now 6 weeks later, you know, he's calling me every night after he gets off work. We have great conversations. We go out to dinner on Saturdays. Like, we have a kind of a routine here. So consistency is like starting to happen, or it is happening actually.
Okay.
So it feels like we're like back to dating again, but we haven't had that conversation. And also he's still married. So.
Well, is he asking you for, you're just basically dating with no intent to commit right now. Are you dating others as well?
Yes. So I've dated some others. I'm duty dating. So I have been going on to dates, but I do feel myself like getting really, you know, really just more and more attached. And so I'm wondering, I have two questions. So my first question is, can I ask him about the divorce, or would that be like too masculine if I'm like, hey, when are you getting a divorce?
Can I have more details? No, because he hasn't asked you, he hasn't pursued that he wants a relationship. You're just dating.
Okay.
You're already jumping to a commitment. That's you leaving.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You're just basically, that's why it's important for you to have numerous men, so you're not over focused on him. You were in a relationship with him. Is that what I heard?
Yes, we were. Yep. We dated for like over a year.
And then you broke up and now you're back together, but it's a brand new relationship. So you basically follow his lead when he wants, you know, if he asks you for intercourse or sex, that's when you say, I'm looking for a long-term committed relationship. But right now you're just going out dating.
Right. Okay. That's cool. That's kind of how I was thinking about it. I didn't press him at all on it. I just asked him if he was still married. Before he was still married, and he had a good reason actually for still being married, but now that reason's over. Anyway, so now getting to the part of like asking for sex. So he does want to have sex. We have not had sex. I'm not going to have sex with him because I don't want to get even more attached feeling than I already am. But you know, I like what Dr. Pat says, like no penis in the mouth, anus or vagina, you know,
yeah.
Like that thing. What about like the reverse? So I know I can't have any genitalia in my mouth, but well, he wants to know, can he have genitalia in his mouth? So is that permissible?
Yes, he can do that, but you have to decide, are you wanting to be in a relationship? Is this, because this sounds like it's just casual sex now.
Okay, so this would be like casual sex.
Yeah, because he's married, so you're not in a long-term committed relationship headed for marriage or mating. Basically, what I'm hearing is you like him a lot, so you're available for casual sex because he's not available for long-term committed relationship exclusivity.
Well, I would think it's like casual making out because we haven't had sex. And I wouldn't have sex with him, but penis and yeah.
But you have to remember, he's still married.
Yeah.
So Andy, do you have any comments on?
Okay, so that would be.
Let me get a man's point of view. She's gone out with this man before. I think you've been a caller before, so I remember you. She's gone out.
Yeah.
And they broke up. And now he's back because I did tell her, give him time, and he's come back and they're starting over. So she had a bad time with him before, but now they're back together. And now they want to fool around. You'd like to be in a relationship with him is what I'm hearing.
Yes, I would.
But he's married. Andy, what's your input on that?
Go to wantinstitute.net, click on board work, and there's a relationship contract. On that contract is a thing for time, space, money, and play. Play is sexual, non-sexual. If you're the feminine, write out what you don't want, then what you do want. Then figure out your minimums and your deal breakers. if what it takes is an engagement ring on this time, put an engagement ring on my finger, I'll have intercourse with you, or decide whatever it is. But sex is anything you taste, touch, see, smell, and hear. It either turns you on or turns you off. So decide your minimums and your deal breakers.
But she said he's still married.
I understand.
Yeah.
One of those minimums might be, I will not have intercourse with anybody who's married.
Okay. Does that help you, caller?
It does help me. I think I need to just figure out, because I don't know if sex includes like oral sex, you know, like, so that's kind of what I'm wondering,
like,
I guess.
But like Andy said, sex is anything you smell, touch, taste, feel, or hear that turns you on and or off. Intercourse is a different thing under the Dr. Pat Allen rule. He can have oral sex with you. You cannot perform oral sex on him. He cannot enter your body.
Okay.
So that's the difference. But the hang here is, what are you looking for in a relationship? Are you looking for a long-term committed monogamous relationship? Because he's already in one of those. Well, he's obviously not monogamous.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, yes, exactly. Now, I do want to be in a committed long-term relationship. So
then I have to agree with Andy.
I mean, you have to look, a reason, you have to look at their still.
You have to look at your contract. I totally agree with Andy. You have to look at your contract. What is the deal breaker? If the deal breaker is, if you don't put an engagement ring on my finger and take that ring off her finger and get a divorce, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
You have to lay your guidelines and your bright line rules down.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. I mean, he says he's getting a divorce soon, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I should have better, clearer boundaries is kind of what I'm hearing.
And let me ask you, if you went out with him before, was he still married then?
He was still married then, yes. And he could not get a divorce at that time because he was in a legal situation where there was like wife, there was spousal privilege and stuff. So there was a reason why he couldn't get a divorce. That situation is over now.
But my question, what I want to bring, you were with him when he was married, and did it hurt you? Was there a bad break between you, and then you got back together? I'm trying to find out what's different now.
So yes, we did have a bad breakup, but it wasn't because of the marriage or anything like that. It was more about the situation, just other things. So, and now, you know, he just came back around and we're kind of just feeling each other out at this point is kind of what's going on. So, but at the same time, it's kind of getting serious, like in that he is calling every day and like we're starting to just like get back into this kind of routine, you know, except that included in that routine is that he's still married, even though the circumstances have changed quite a bit, you know, in terms of why he's not divorced and all that stuff. So,
okay. But then maybe when you don't have intercourse, you may get emotionally bonded to him to where you're still, you know, the taste, touch, smell, hear him, you're still doing that. So you'll over focus on him and you probably won't want to go out with other men.
I'm definitely struggling with that. Like I'm definitely struggling with.
That's one of the problems you have to understand too.
Yeah. So do you recommend that I would just like end this until he's divorced or?
That's your call, but usually what Dr. Pat says, from what I remember, is she says it's okay to go out with married men, but do it for lunch dates, not dinner, because dinner is sexual. You can be friends with them and go out and enjoy the breakfast or afternoon, knowing that, and then get to know each other and do that until he's divorced, so you don't get to this place where you start wanting the sex and intimacy.
Okay. Okay. That's really helpful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Do you have any input on that, Andy? Do you have any input on that, Andy?
No, nothing more than what you said. I thought it was great.
Oh, okay. Well, we hope you well. We wish you well, caller.
Well, thank you so much. I'll call back in. I listen all the time, and you all have helped me all. So, you've helped me so much this year. So thank you so much.
All righty, caller. And thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
That was a good caller. Yeah.
We wish you well, caller.
Oh, I think we have another caller on the air. Is there another caller? Oh, they went off.
There is. Oh, no,
oh, there
here.
Is. Oh, I'm sorry. We are on the air with Kelly, Andy, and Sue. Do you have a question?
Thank you. I do. I recently met someone and we ended up spending a couple of days. I want to be the feminine energy. The interaction was very much like that. I did not let him in despite request for that. So here's the question. That's the background. Here's the question.
Okay.
Are there any instances besides ritual greetings that it's okay to reach out to a man who dated you without it being chasing?
Let's let Andy, a man's point of view. Andy, what would you say to her?
I don't know of one, no.
Yeah, because...
How about Pat's new tool, Sue?
What?
Where did you go?
But has he ghosted you?
No, I just wondered. I was just wondering. I mean, I know from listening...
When was the last date with him?
A week ago.
Okay, you have to just let him chase you. You can't reach out and say, mm-hmm. Hey, how are you?
Correct. Okay, I just revisiting to make sure.
Nope, unfortunately.
Passive and patient is the way to go, and that there's the 8 weeks. And so just see what happens and
when he texts you after 2 or 3 weeks, Pat says, just act like you talked to him the other day.
Excellent.
Yeah. You don't ask him where he's been. You don't scold him on where he's gone or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I'm sorry. Could you say that again, Andy?
Being feminine is a huge turn on. It is great. Very, very attractive. It's worth the time. It's worth the effort, no matter how much it drives you crazy. On his side, it's amazing.
Fantastic. Thank you for the confirmation and reviewing those things.
So you have to be patient, passive, vulnerable, and available. Patient.
Yes. Excellent.
Call us next week and let us know how it goes.
Okay. Thank you, all three of you.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah. That's always the ladies always want to slip in there and contact the guy just to see how they are.
Yeah, but it's terrible because that's the new scripting that has happened ever since the great bra burning episode of the 70s.
Yeah, everybody's equal.
but not.
Oh, we got a crosstalk here. Andy, you were saying something?
Sorry.
What did you have to say?
Oh, that it comes across as mothering.
Yes, when you're checking up on guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
good point. Yeah. That's true. Hopefully, if you have any out there, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. Please feel free to call us. And then also, I think we talked about Dr. Pat, Kelly, and I have monthly ladies groups. The July has already started, but we're taking names in a wait list for August. So if you want information, you can reach me at the office at info@drpatallen.com or 949-723-0338. Kelly, do you have any questions you want to talk to the audience about regarding information?
Yeah, I would. You know, I'm hearing a lot of a lot of ladies are coming out, and this, you know, we were just talking about the great bra burning of the 70s and all of that women's lib. And Dr. Pat just said in group the other day that women's lib has basically destroyed, you know, the American family and relationships, but it's because it's put women in the masculine and forced men into the feminine. We discussed the war on boys and how just by nature of everything that's happening, you know, it's emasculating them and it's causing women to be so masculine.
And also the dads are teaching their daughters to be self-sufficient. You don't need a man.
Yeah. So Andy, I was just wondering if you have had experiences. I have a friend who I've known since elementary school, and he had called me. He lives in Arkansas, and he called me and he said, I'm not going to date women anymore. You know, he's 58. He said, I can't. He said, this Me Too movement thing, he said, if you even smile at a woman now, it's like she's offended. He's like, I'm just going to become an old hermit and go fishing. Andy, have you had those experiences like with the Me Too movement and that kind of situation?
I have. I just decided that it's worth the smile because, you know, if you get 1 out of 10, it's still worthwhile to me. Like the energy is just so good to not live without. I don't know why you'd. I mean, I get why you'd not want to do that, but I don't also expect 100% feedback on everything I do in life. So why would you expect that with things? I mean, do a test. You know, smile at 10 women, see if 2 of them smile back, and now that is your baseline. It's like sales tip, right? If somebody told you, if you're in sales, that, hey, it takes 10 phone calls to make one sale, how quickly would you get to those 10 phone calls? Pretty darn quick.
Yeah.
You know, in that Outwitting the Devil thing, by Napoleon Hill, if you haven't read it or heard it, it's fantastic. But the devil tells Napoleon Hill that not more than 2 in 100 people will try anything more than 3 times after they fail. And the only difference between failure and a temporary setback is the way you think about it.
Yeah, how many times? You just have to get up one more time, then they knock you down. It's interesting because I said to him, instead of focusing your energy on smiling just at women, smile at everybody. Smile at the old man walking the dog. And just smile at everyone. And so your countenance is just that. And it has a positive effect. When you're just, you know, eyes down, grouchy face, and then you see a pretty girl and you smile, that's one thing. I said, but smile at everyone. It changes your energy. You have to change your energy completely. You can't just change it for select people. And, you know, happy people that smile attract more people because everybody's like, what do they know? What do they have that I don't have? So that was my advice to him. I said, I don't think you should give up. I think that you should just give out more smiles and see what happens.
Yeah. I was at a tracker school called, the tracker school actually out in New Jersey. And we did this test, right? And it, you know, what, I'm walking in front of you about 10 feet, 10, 15 feet. You start 10, 15 feet apart, and without any intention, see how close you can get to them before they turn around. And, you know, without any intention, you can pretty much touch their shoulder, and they go, oh, hey, what's up? And then do it again with intent to harm and see how close you can get then. I got about 12 feet away before they turned around and went, oh, I need to stay away from you. Really,
Wow.
Putting out.
That's super interesting.
Yeah, you can feel it in your body when somebody has intent.
Yes.
And then when you know what to look for, it becomes easier to identify in the future. Energy really matters.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I worked in public defense. I worked for the public defender's office here in the little town that I live in. And so naturally, they all knew me. Everybody who had a criminal problem knew me. So as I would go through town to the supermarket or, you know, the local chicken place or whatever, they would see me and they would come up and talk to me. But I knew their intent. Their intent was to get information from me. It wasn't to harm me. However, before I encountered them in that respect as part of the public defense team, their intent was different. Then they knew me and they knew that there was a possibility that I could help them. So it was a completely different energy. And it was interesting because I could walk through downtown in my town where you couldn't do that in downtown LA or any place like that. In my little town, they all knew me. They're, oh, you know, so that was a totally different thing. But I totally see what you're saying. You could pick up the energy. The difference in energy is palpable.
Absolutely. So why not send good vibes out in the world and see what you get back?
Yeah.
There's a thing in entrepreneurship that says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Right off. That's for sure.
Yeah. Also that the law of attraction, it's all about the energy. What you think about comes about. It's the same thing. You send out positive energy and you get it back. If you're always thinking negative, you're attracting negative.
Yeah, what do they say? You are the average of your five closest friends.
What was that again now? What?
You are the average of your five closest friends.
And what would that, what does that mean? What's that?
If you hang around negative people.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It'll rub off on you. Like Pat says, if you put a negative and a positive, and if you have a negative and a positive person and you throw you in, you will go negative. Positive, you know, angels are good, but the devil is a stronger force.
Yeah, he has 98 out of 100 people.
You know, it's interesting. When I was young, my grandmother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Careful who you flock with. And I used to think, well, that, what's wrong with her? But, you know, as you grow up and you mature, you look back on those adages and you think to yourself, wow, she was right. And I was dumb. But, you know, and there's all those other old adages like lay down with dogs, get up with fleas. It's the same concept. And, you know, it's funny when I became an adult and I became a mother, those were the same things I said to my children. Watch who you hang around with, you know, avoid even the appearance of evil. So, you know, that's the other thing too, is like I said to him, some women are just programmed now to think that way. So if you smile at them and they scowl, smile bigger and turn and walk away. So, yeah, you know, because you can't control people's reactions.
It's also a great red flag, right? Like, okay, well, I don't want to get to know you anymore. You know, check one off the list. Next.
Right. Exactly. We're kicking the tires. And that's what I tell my ladies, too. I'm like, you know, you get into this situation where they have what I call the instantaneous monogamy, where they go out on one coffee date and the next thing you know, they're at Macy's and putting in the registry and picking out the China cat patterns. And I'm like, what are you doing? Well, I think that he's the one. And I'm like, you don't know that. You don't buy the first pair of shoes you put on when you go into the shoe shop. You try on shoes. That's duty dating. That's dating. You invest all your time with this one person who hasn't made a commitment with you or even discussed one, and you're over there picking out China patterns. What are you doing? You know?
Well, that brings phases too, right? The first three months is a perfect phase. Nobody does anything
right.
Wrong. Nobody farts. And of course you love
right.
Them. Right?
Yeah, the first three months right. Is the perfect phase. you don't know anybody during you, but 3 to 6 months is when you find out all their flaws.
Yeah, the imperfect phase, and then yes. The 6 months, the negotiable phase. Can you communicate? Can we make a deal? Because you got chemistry, communication, compatibility. And then 9 to 12 is commitment. And then don't date anybody more than 12 months without knowing what you're doing and where you're going. So
I agree with that. I just ran across a gal and she said to me, well, we've been engaged for 11 years. I said, well, I'll tell you what. It's almost time for divorce. Like, what are we talking about here? We're thinking about getting married in the next 3 years. I'm like, thinking to myself, why bother at this point? Like, what are you doing? And she's we want to have kids. And I'm like, you're getting very close to the point where having a child could potentially be a health risk, not only for yourself, but for the child.
There are multiple ways to live. All we're really doing is asking people to be conscious of what they're doing, know what they're doing and why they're doing it. And if you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, there's really nothing else anybody else can say. Like, I got this handled, leave me alone. And let's right. Just do it anymore. So, because a lot of people were programmed to do things, right, from a young age. So why do we do that?
Yeah.
So that our parents don't kill us. And then we take that mentality into adulthood and think that still works. And it fails us over and over again, and we wonder why.
Exactly. That was actually another thing I was going to mention. Dr. Pat Allen does live scripts. And if you've never done a live script with Dr. Pat Allen, you are missing out. It is an eye-opening experience. I've done it with her since I've known her through the years, 4 times, a couple of years apart each time. And I find that after a couple of years, another rewrite is often necessary. We work through things, we work it out, and we get the skills to learn how to do it with that light script. And doing it with her is amazing.
Yeah, the nice thing
Pat,
about that
Pat does those on Fridays, right?
The live scripts are, yes, Friday afternoon. If you want information, you can contact me at the office as well. The same info at Dr. Pat Allen or our phone number, 949-723-0338. I can give you all the information. There's a questionnaire you fill out, and then I schedule the appointment. It's via Zoom. She does everything via Zoom.
And it's a blast.
It's very informative to bring up how you were scripted by parents, churches, teachers, society, all of those do a script. They teach
older brothers and sisters. Yeah, it really is.
And parents, priests, all of that stuff. They put an impact on how you live your life today, the script. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Hey, Sue, it looks like we're out of time.
Oh, we are. I just want to let everybody know that stay tuned. Patricia Eltage has her Your Dream Life. She interprets dreams. She's on at 5:00. Please stay tuned to call in and have your dream interpreted. And Andy, do you have any closing words for the audience?
Please go to thewantinstitute.net. Look for books. Look for board work. Set your boundaries with that relationship contract. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, we thank you for joining us and being a man's perspective here. Kelly, do you have any closing words you want to help with the audience? Tell the audience.
Yeah, thank you, Andy, for coming. It's always a pleasure to get to chat with you. And hey, everybody out there, we love you. We're going to be back next week. Keep smiling.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.